Thanks, Warren. Good morning, brethren. Happy Sabbath to everyone. In today's sermonette, I'd like to direct it again to, once again, to our young people. But today what I'd like to do is I want to start getting into the basics of the beliefs of the Church of God, to go through those with you. And I wanted to take this opportunity now in these weeks before the Passover to cover the basics of the Passover and of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It's just 2 weeks tomorrow evening. It's incredible how the time flies. 2 weeks from tomorrow evening, and God's people around the world will be keeping God's Passover. Today I'd like to touch on a sermonette that I gave 3 years ago, and most of you were a lot younger then, when I gave a partial explanation for the young people with regards to Passover, where I talked about the fact that the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread are parts of God's priceless heritage that is being passed on from adults of the church to you young people. This heritage of God, this inheritance, is being passed on through God's church to you young people. It's being offered to you, and if you want it, it's there for you to take it and accept it. But today I'd like to approach this from a different angle, and I have this format that I've written articles in and given sermonettes in. I call it my 5 W's and 1 H format. And using that format, I ask what, why, where, who, when, and how. So today I'd like to give you the 5 W's and the 1 H of Passover. So the first question is, what is the Passover? And right from the very beginning, God knew that the young people would ask him this question. Please turn to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 26. Exodus 12, 26. And it shall be when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? So you see the young people are asking that question right from Moses' time. So God prepared an answer for them. Look at verse 27. That you shall say, it is the Passover sacrifice of the Eternal, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households. So the Passover is a memorial day. It's a very important anniversary day, but it doesn't just commemorate one event, it commemorates three events. And the first one, as God says, is that tenth and final plague on ancient Egypt. And God, after giving ample warning to the Egyptians, God himself passed over Egypt on the Passover night. That's why it's called Passover, because God passed over Egypt and he killed the firstborn of Egypt. It was an awful plague. It was a terrible plague. But through that plague, God freed Israel from captivity and slavery to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and from slavery in Egypt itself. The second thing that Passover commemorates is the death of Jesus Christ, who was also the firstborn, but he was the firstborn not of Egypt, but the firstborn son of God the Father. And through Jesus' awful death on the Passover day in 31 AD, God frees us, not from Egypt, but from captivity and slavery to the world, to Satan, and to sin. The third thing the Passover commemorates is the date of the baptism of each Christian. That was the date on which we formally accepted the death of Jesus Christ, and we asked him to apply his death to our sins, to cover and blot out our sins with his blood. So that's what Passover is. It's a memorial day. It's an anniversary day. So the second question is, why should Christians keep the Passover? Isn't it an obsolete Old Testament Jewish ritual? No, it's not. God's commands are never empty ritual. God's commands are always very rich and meaningful in their purpose. And there are quite a few reasons why Christians should keep the Passover. And the first one is because God commands us to. And even if there was no other reason given, that would be enough for us. If God commands us to do anything, we do it. Secondly, keeping the Passover forces Christians to think about the death of those firstborn Egyptians, how their death led to the freeing of the Israelites and from Pharaoh and from Egypt. But it also forces us to think about the death of God's firstborn, Jesus Christ, and how that led to freeing of all mankind eventually from Satan and from sin. Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm pretty sure you'll be looking at this quite a few times in the next couple of weeks. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. Verse 23, "For I received from the Eternal, from the Lord, that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed," and this was Passover night, Abib 14 in AD 31, "took bread," verse 24, "and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you.'" And then he commands us to do something. "Do this in remembrance of me." See, it was a memorial. "In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you shall drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" So, before the Passover every year, God's people are commanded to examine ourselves, to take a close look at ourselves, to see how far we have overcome since we were baptized, and to see how much we still have to overcome. In verse 28 of that same chapter where we are, it says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." So before we participate in Passover, if we want to participate properly, we have to do that self-examination. We have to think about the past year. We have to think about how imperfect we still are. We have to admit that and see that we are. And we have to ask God to reapply. Every year we have to go back and we have to ask God to reapply Jesus Christ's sacrifice and blood to our sins and imperfections. And even though we do have to repent on a daily basis, this is almost like a formal repentance that we go through every year. Question three, where should the Passover be kept? Originally, the Passover service and dinner, when they used to have the lamb. The Old Testament Passover service was kept in the homes of the Israelites' families. Now, at some later time, the Jews chose to change that, to keep Passover at the temple in Jerusalem. Now, that was wrong. We believe that that was wrong, and they never should have done that. There was no command for them to do that. We look at Jesus Christ's example, and in Jesus' last Passover with his disciples, his last Passover as a human being, Of course, they were not at their homes in Galilee or Nazareth. They were in Jerusalem. They were away from their homes, so they couldn't keep the Passover in their own homes. So what they did is they hired a room especially for the occasion. Please turn to Luke chapter 22 and verse 8. And we can see that there was a miracle involved just in the choosing of the correct room at that time. Luke chapter 22 and verse 8. And he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat." So they said to him, they asked him this question, Where do you want us to prepare? And he said to them, "Behold, when you've entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he enters. Then you shall say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large furnished upper room where there make ready." So they went and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. So God's people and God's church, we take that example, we take the lead from that, and most of the brethren of the Church of God keep the Passover in rented rooms. And this year we'll be keeping the Passover right here in this building. Some of the members who live on their own in the very, very small groups, or if they have invalids in the family, it's okay, it's fine for them to still keep it in their home. No problem with that at all. So that's where the Passover should be kept. Question 4. Who should keep the Passover? Again, going back to the Old Testament times, for the Passover, all of the Israelite family members, including the children, kept the Passover. But they didn't keep the Passover in that respect, but they attended the Passover dinner. And sometimes we ask the question, maybe you young people ask the question, why is it in the New Testament that the Passover service is restricted just for baptized adult members? Again, we look to the example of Jesus Christ on that last night of his human life. We look to his example to see what he did. And on that last night of his human life, he only had his 12 disciples with him. He did not. There was no children there, as far as we know. We're still in Luke chapter 22. If you look at verse 14, it says, "When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him." And as far as we know, they're the only ones who were with him, the people who were closest to him. On Passover night, it is the most deeply solemn of all nights of the year. The symbolism is great, and only baptized, mature adult members are permitted to be there, to be in attendance. Now, because of this restriction, some of you young people may feel disassociated from the Passover, and that's a pity in some respects, and that's one of the reasons why I'm giving this sermonette, because it should be a very important and meaningful day and night to you young people too. I'll come back to that again in a minute. Question 5, when should the Passover be kept? There's been a lot of controversy over the years about this question, but I'm not going to go into that controversy. I'm just going to give you the straight answer from God's Word, and it's surprisingly simple. The Passover should be kept on the 14th day of God's first month. In the Old Testament, they used to call it Abib. In the New Testament, they call it Nisan, but it was the first month of the year in the spring. And there are many scriptures that prove this point beyond any doubt, without getting into all of the Hebrew or anything else. I don't know whether I've got time. Yes, I do. I'm just going to run through. I'm going to run through 6 scriptures that prove this beyond a shadow of a doubt. If you can keep up, look it up in your Bibles. Leviticus 23 and verse 5. On the 14th day of the first month, at twilight, is the Lord's Passover. Numbers 9 and verse 5. And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month, at twilight, in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that the Eternal commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did. Numbers chapter 28 and verse 16. On the 14th day of the first month is the Passover of the Eternal. Joshua chapter 5 and verse 10. Now the children of Israel camped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at twilight on the plains of Jericho. 2 Chronicles chapter 35 and verse 1. Now Josiah kept a Passover to the Eternal in Jerusalem, and they slaughtered the Passover lambs, when? On the 14th day of the first month. Ezra chapter 6 and verse 19. And the descendants of the captivity, after they came back from the captivity, kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. So over and over again, it's on the 14th. So you know, and you young people probably know, should know by now, that God's days begin and end at sunset. So it was on the evening which began Abib 14 that the Passover lamb was killed, cooked, and eaten. It was on the night of Abib 14 that God passed over Egypt. It was on the night and day of Abib 14 in 31 AD that Jesus Christ kept the Passover. He was arrested, tried, tortured, and murdered on that day. So we follow that example, and on the evening beginning Abib 14, we hold the Passover service. And this year, Abib 14 and the Passover begin at sunset on Sunday, April the 4th, and end at sunset on Monday, April the 5th. So finally, how should the Passover be kept? Is the Passover, do we hide it from our young people? Do we hide it from the world? No. Are we embarrassed about it? Are we ashamed of what we do at the Passover service? No, not at all. Some groups, including the Jews, of course, and the Samaritans, and even some members of the Church of God in various areas still do the lamb dinner, which I pronounce as a cedar, and Warren pronounce it as sadar. Yeah. Some groups actually still do that and have the lamb dinner. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but it's not necessary. The Samaritans actually still have the formal lamb sacrifice every year over there in Samaria. But Jesus gave us some new symbols, the bread and the wine. We've already read one of the scriptures on that. The Church of God takes the example from just a short segment of Jesus' final night, the things that happened on that evening. And what we do is basically we emulate and we talk about what happened in that short period of time. We hold a solemn service in a quiet, private, rented room, just like Jesus Christ and the disciples did. We have what we call a foot washing ceremony. Why? Because Jesus Christ told us to. We have a little piece of unleavened bread that symbolizes the broken body of Jesus Christ. And we have a little glass of wine, red wine, that symbolizes Jesus Christ's shed blood. Because he commanded us to do that and to remember that and to remember him in that way. Either a minister or the other person who's officiating at the Passover service reads some scriptures. It's not a sermon and there's very little comment on the scriptures, but there are certain scriptures that describe what happened on that evening. Again, we don't go into the arrest and the trials and the mocking and the torture and the crucifixion and the death of Jesus Christ. They are left for our personal study. And then we end the service with an appropriate hymn, again, just as Jesus Christ and the disciples did. But let me ask you, young people, just because you are not involved in the Passover service, and just because the Passover day itself is not a formal holy day, is it okay for you to just do what you want? Is it okay, perhaps, on that evening to sit at home and read some comics or to watch some sitcoms on TV or whatever, or watch a movie or play some video games? Even though the Passover day is not a holy day per se, I believe that we should all treat that evening, the young, every member of the church, whether young or old, should treat that evening and that day with appropriate reverence. And I would ask the parents to insist on that because of the importance of that night and that day. Just think what happened on the 14th of Abib. Jesus Christ went through the most awful mental anguish ever after his Father laid the whole sins, or rather the sins of the whole world, on his head. And he was arrested, and he was illegally tried, and he was terribly beaten. And in the daytime portion of that day, he suffered even more torture, and he was crucified, and the Creator of the universe died. It's amazing to think about. Now, I don't understand. I have no idea why God did not make Passover a formal holy day. But someday, I believe that we will know and we'll understand. I don't understand why now. Nevertheless, whether we're at home, whether we're at school, whether at work, all the family, including the children, should keep the evening and the day with a certain amount of reverence and thoughtfulness. And just to think, as you go through your day, just spare a thought every so often what was happening during that time in 31 AD. So that's it. There you have it. The what, why, where, who, when and how, the basics of the Passover.